Explore Territory podcast. This week we have Marilyn Besanta as our guest, Senior Director of Product Management Edge Computing at VMware, to talk about the Edge Compute Stack 2.0. Welcome to the show, Marilyn.
Good morning, Duncan and Frank. How are you guys?
Good. So Marilyn, you have been with VMware for almost 11 years, I think, and you had various positions within the company. For those who don't know you, can you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about your career at VMware?
Yeah, no, my 11-year anniversary is coming up in January. You know, it's been a very fulfilling and interesting career here at VMware. So I first joined as a solution architect in end user computing. And so this is when we just had launched what now is our Workspace ONE IDM platform. So at the time it was called Horizon Application Manager. It just went out the door. We had Horizon 6 that also had just been released. So I was writing the, you know, we were doing end-to-end vertical solution testing, and I wrote like the install configure guide, and we were in our lab doing all a bunch of testing, reference architecture testing. And so it was interesting time to come into VMware. And, you know, EUC, it was kind of seen as like their own little business. You know, we were our own business group, kind of separate from the rest of VMware. But of course I interacted with, you know, Alan, who you had last week, with William and with you guys across the board at VMware. But it was interesting in being part of EUC because everything I learned in EUC, because we were such a, if you think of VDI is kind of, it's just a platform. To make VDI really real to the end customers, you have to verticalize it. You have to put in the proper applications. And so EUC was one of the first businesses in the company that was properly doing end-to-end solutions, verticalized solutions, which, as I talk a bit about Edge, is very similar to what I'm doing in my job now. So it was in EUC for about 5 years and transitioned into a little bit more of a product management role. And probably the thing me and my old team were best known for is Test Drive. So we kind of created our own mini before the cloud became a thing. We needed to have VDI in the cloud. So that way we can could have had our field try out everything out end to end and, you know, properly try out all the vertical solutions completely. And so it was really fun to do all that. And then after that, I moved into more of a, well, you can think of it more as like an internal engineering role. And I was building out marketing tools. We were still doing end-to-end solution validation, you know, building out, just helping with the internal platforms and then kind of expanding the footprint of Test Drive to other products besides EUC products, as well as we built something called Pathfinder. So really kind of focusing on that customer experience as they try our products. Our team also launched a part of the cloud VMware.com website. And so, yeah. And then in the last year and a half, it's been about 16 months, I got this amazing opportunity to come over here and run the product management for Edge. And I've been really fortunate and very happy in this position.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons we invited you to talk about the VMware Edge Compute Stack. But before we do, it's probably good to discuss what Edge actually is. Last week, or on the last episode, which was episode 30, we had Alan Renouffon and we asked him the same question. What does Edge mean to you? Because everyone seems to have their own opinion about what the Edge actually is. So it would be good if you could elaborate on that.
Oh, yeah. And definitely one of the first, whenever you go, it's funny you say that, because if you talk about Edge, people, I think they jump to so many different things. Typically, you might also think network Edge, because now being part of the Cebu business unit, we have SD-WAN. So you think of an Edge. Oh, you mean an SD-WAN Edge? Oh, you mean, what do you mean? So it's... So the first thing we ever do with a customer is first ask, what edge are we talking about? but what we're talking about as part of VMware's Edge Compute Stack offering is we really we're trying to align, of course, with what the industry is kind of saying. So I think we've kind of aligned a little bit better on far edge and near edge. And then what does then that mean? Because again, the lines there can also be blurred. So for the far edge, we mean all the stuff at the actual end customer site. So we're talking factories, retail stores, oil rigs, could be down to the cars and all those devices too. To the near edge, we're talking about, you know, our POPs. We're talking about some of that telco infrastructure. We're talking about MEC and those pieces. And so it's the edge is a continuum up to the data center. So far edge, near edge, data center/public cloud.
I actually was reading about the VMware Edge Compute Stack, and I thought it was very interesting. I watched some of the sessions that you've hosted at VMware Explore, and I was wondering, maybe it's good to start at the problem that we're trying to solve. Alan already mentioned last episode what they were trying to solve with KSSIC, and it seems to be a slightly different use case in their particular case, seems to be more focused on what may happen in the future. But Edge Stack is here today available. So maybe you can talk about the problem that we're trying to solve with this particular stack of products.
Yeah, so we definitely have to solve for, our vision for solving for the edge, of course, is consistent across VMware. We see the same challenges that Alan had mentioned last week are the same challenges we're seeing, of course, with our edge customers now. So with Edge Compute Stack, it's actually now been just about a year because we officially launched. VMware said we were going to go into the edge market. It was October last year when we had VMworld Online. You know, now we just at US launched our 2.0. And so what we really have come across in the last year is taking the, how do I want to say this? I want to say that we have, you know, VMware has an amazing comprehensive set of products. So how do we take those products? And I don't just want to take what we have and bring it to the edge. That's not what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is take the best bits of everything that we have and optimize them for the edge. And so last year, we settled on the what some of you guys were asking Alan, like what's very important and actually what really makes it a VMware very strong for the edge is the fact that we have a proper VM and container platform together. So that's very important. And so what we've accomplished in the last year with Edge Compute Stack is really further optimizing that. Like we've made great strides in optimizing Kubernetes. We've made great strides in real time for applications. And I want to talk a lot about real time, actually. And so all of these things together is what we're bringing together on the platform, but then not just the platform, I'm also thinking end-to-end of how to solve pushing apps to the edge, how we're handling data at the edge, how we're handling security, because everything about the edge, as I was alluding to earlier, is really how you're bringing together, you know, complete vertical solutions. Like the verticals that VMware's that we're really going after that you kind of see the edge market kind of going after is retail, manufacturing, oil and gas, power utility, some fulfillment, because that's really also manufacturing. And then we'll get into the other adjacent businesses like banking and healthcare and those type of things. But really the transformation, especially, you know, during COVID and, you know, with the global supply chain issue, like it makes sense that retail and manufacturing were some of the industries that really needed some of that transformation to happen a bit faster. Like I feel that retail and manufacturing were already on a journey to modernize, just as everyone was, you know, moving apps to the public cloud and moving to modernize containerized workloads. But then the need for the edge itself is all about being able to give your end customers these instant real-time immersive experiences. So from a retail perspective, you know, you go to those Amazon Go stores and you have that self, you know, immediately you don't have to do any of that type of checkout. So customers are expecting these type of experiences as they shop. From a manufacturing perspective, they want to have all that real-time closed loop automation. I'll talk a little bit about one of the customers that we announced at Explore US, but I realize I'm going off track on the question. So what are we solving for in terms of the challenges? So the things that we typically see at the edge, and Alan touched on a bunch of these last week, is first you have to have a proper platform to solve for the application needs. You have to be able to solve for connectivity as well, because a lot of cases you don't have connection, so things have to run in a disconnected or autonomous type of mode. You have to be able to handle how you're deploying VMs and containers at scale. You have to be able to handle the data. Most of the time, like Alan said, you don't have IT staff like this. These are sites that you have to be able to have the ability to remotely update and control, or the software has to be self-healing. And then, of course, you have to handle security, because you're right. In a lot of these cases, these servers, you know, are just sitting under a counter somewhere. Someone could walk away with it.
So you mentioned some of the problems that we're trying to solve. And you also mentioned that you said we want to take the best bits and custom fit it for the solution at the edge. So can you talk a little bit more about that? What does the edge stack look like?
Yeah, so we're, of course, taking our amazing vSphere platform and our Tanzu Kubernetes platform. So this is the basis of what we've got. We're also adding in edge network intelligence. We can really do AI ops at the edge. So it's putting together some of the intelligence and our core pieces of the platform for VMs and containers. And then we'll layer on. Oh, and of course, I have not forgotten Duncan vSAN. We, of course, have vSAN as part of the solution. We typically see for edge deployments, you know, 1, 2, 3 nodes, maybe sometimes up to 4 nodes. So, of course, vSAN has a play in this. And one of the things we were talking about before we were recording this is that, you know, we get a lot of asks about the benefits of vSAN and people recently wanting to have the best bits of vSAN, but for one node. So really kind of shrinking that footprint of vSAN and getting that kind of experience. And I'll say no way this is a product commitment, but definitely on the ask list.
So you talked about vSAN and all that stuff, but there are some specific enhancements made for the Edge Compute Stack 2.0. Are you able to go into a little bit more detail about that as well?
Yeah, we introduced a bunch of great stuff for 2.0. So a lot of it is, we like using the term Honey, I Shrunk the Stack, you know, from the movie Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. So that's a lot of the great work that VMware has done over the past year. So in terms of our Kubernetes platform, we've really been able to shrink the cluster sizes and a lot of great work that's been done to optimize Kubernetes for the edge. From the vSphere side, it's really all about optimizing for real time. Because one of the things that I know Alan touched upon and he worked upon is, you know, start doing that real time for the power utility. And so all of his, you know, he actually, this is how also just to show a testament of, you know, like as we incubate things in our Octo group, how they come out to be productized, all the great work that Alan had started for power utility and real time testing, you know, we've now taken into our team and we're properly selling to utility companies. So it's really great to see like that incubation coming down to the product and then selling it out to a full life cycle here at VMware. But to your question, yes, the optimizations for 2.0. So we at VMware started developing, you know, this ESX real-time mode for some of the power utility use cases, as well as for service providers to be able to support, you know, our cellular deployment. When I can talk a little bit about Dish, so this was announced at Explore, you know, Dish is running, you know, all of their deployments of RAN on this real-time technology. So everything that VMware has learned in these large telco deployments, we're applying, of course, to our enterprise deployments. They, of course, are separate, different type of workloads, because for the enterprise, you got to handle lots of different types of applications or workloads, whereas telco is a very kind of specialized workload. But all these learnings for real time, plus the work that we did for power utility, is what is enabling the applications at the edge. And so these are some of the things that we did for 2.0. The other thing I'll talk about 2.0 is making sure we have a comprehensive portfolio to fit different types of edges and different use cases. So what I'm talking about, you know, is based on all of our vSphere technology with vSAN and containers. But what we have two other projects that make up Edge Compute Stack. So last year was announced Project Santa Cruz, which was also from the Octo team incubated project that's also been exited into the business group, where we're taking, you know, Kubernetes and putting on SD-WAN device. So that has, you know, different use cases and implications we can use, and that's part of our portfolio. We're still taking design partners for this, so it's something if anyone's interested, we can work on that. And then the other thing we really announced is moving to something called what we're calling Device Edge. So if I think of these three offers, I think of the vSphere offer as kind of like the enterprise edge, this SD-WAN offer as a network edge, and then we're doing something called Device Edge. So if you look at the industry, it's typically called Device Edge or Distributed Edge. And what this really means is very small footprint hardware. This is typically, you know, not your server-grade servers. We're talking core processors, Atom processors, in some cases the ARM processors, and getting down to some very specialized use cases, maybe for IoT gateways or for like drones, oil, you know, it's a little bit of oil and gas. So we're trying to be very clear about which solution fits the best use cases and making sure we have a comprehensive edge portfolio to target all the different market segments in the edge market overall.
Yeah, you've mentioned the real-time apps a few times already. You've also mentioned that we've included some of the enhancements in the stack. Now, I was wondering, maybe it's good to explain what those types of applications are and what they do, because not everyone may be familiar with those types of applications. The other thing is as well, have we done anything specific to the hypervisor that may also, you know, be used in regular environments? I can imagine that we also make changes there.
Yeah, so I mean, the real-time mode is just part of the core base for vSphere. You kind of enable it, and then the hypervisor turns into this real-time mode that has not only a smaller footprint, but really enables this functionality. And then you can, as you deploy the VM, you can set the different configurations to run in a real-time mode. And this has that optimal latency. And the nice thing about it, it's very deterministic. And so that I'll talk about the workloads. So some of the real-time applications have to do with, we announced last January this partnership with this startup called Software Defined Automation out of Germany that is looking to virtualize programmable logic boards, so virtual PLCs. So a PLC, you know, is typically something that's specifically programmed once, you know, to maybe power a robot arm or conveyor belt or something in manufacturing. And what typically that is done in a physical way, you know, that code gets loaded onto the device, and then in manufacturing, you don't touch it for X number of years. That robot will always do that same function. So as customers are looking to transform manufacturing, like I was talking about earlier, we really want to get to the software-defined manufacturing. And so by being able to do software PLCs, and then on top of that, virtualize the PLCs, then you can think about it, you can a manufacturer could get to the point where they could recode that PLC remotely, they get all the benefits of virtualization, and they can become more agile as they build their factory. So if you take a look, for example, you know, someone like Tesla, who, you know, during COVID, they were building their cars in the parking lot down the street from us here in the office, you know, and so they were able to quickly get their factories up and running because everything for them is kind of software defined. So as other manufacturers are looking to do all of that, we as VMware want to be able to enable them to be able to do that type of real time, not only in terms of the application for the PLC itself, but then to enable the full software-defined manufacturing.
Another thing that you mentioned was the retail organizations, but it doesn't really only focuses on retail. I think it can also apply to manufacturing. Is that the fact that these organizations, especially with edge locations, is that you apply it or you deploy it on many, many sites? And typically, there isn't any, or there are a few IT staff people located around or near a bunch of edge locations. So how do you deal with that? Are you envisioning a particular way of dealing with that in the edge stack itself?
Yeah, we're looking to build, you know, zero-touch provisioning. And Alan touched upon all the whole list of possibilities that we could do this. But I would say in the short term, we're definitely looking to partner, you know, with our OEMs, you know, Dell, Lenovo, HP, all of these guys who could help kind of preload some of that software, you know, jointly with us and get it out to the edge sites. But I can also say a lot of customers themselves have already started doing some of this, and that, of course, we help them and learn from them to script some of this as best they can, and through some of the methods that Alan talked about, preloading a USB key, you know, doing kind of a pixie boot, you know, in our cases, we can also support some of the TPM stuff with Device Edge. And so, yes, it's 100% needed to be able to very quickly get an edge site up and running. And this is a lot of the great work that we'll be working on this upcoming few months to optimize for the edge. For now, we, of course, have ways to do it, like I said, with our partners. But yes, the goal is to... The other concept I want to bring up is the goal for the edges is to make sure these sites are ephemeral, meaning that we want to make sure that if the site goes down, it should be as easy as just getting another box and having that quickly connect and get up and running. It shouldn't be, and it could be should be something that anyone in the store or the factory should be able to do. It shouldn't require specialized IT. It should be able to call home, get set up, and have that kind of experience. So everything that Alan was talking about, having that proper end-to-end experience, easy to set up, is definitely one of the things that we're looking to solve for. And again, we want to solve it across like what I call like all of the different types of edges. So including Keswick, that'll be something for our future. And then I was talking about the enterprise edge, the network edge, and the device edge. We want to make sure we have a consistent experience across all of the different types of edges and use cases we're solving for.
So I'm wondering that from your perspective, you just mentioned the supportability. But what about the manageability? What does that actually look like? Will you be using vCenter Server? Will people be using the same tools that they are using in the regular data center today?
Yes, for Edge Compute Stack, we're definitely building upon, you know, how our own software is evolving. And as you know, we launch vSphere Plus, as you see some of more of that cloud management, we want to be able to offer that, of course, to the edge as well. But as Alan said, like we have to work on, you know, as we start working on what the different, I would say there'll be different needs for different types of edges, but still we're trying to provide a consistent experience. I do see one interesting thing, like everything Alan said about, you know, having it be GitOps, having to be, you know, desired state architecture. I think we need to be able to support both, because if you think of the entire range of edge customers that we talk to, some of them may only have, you know, a couple hundred sites, so a UI-based management. They still want the same things, of course, in terms of scalability, easy to deploy applications. They still want all the core things of the edge, but they might manage it subtly differently. Whereas if you have tens of thousands of stores, yes, then having a GitOps approach, 100% necessary. That's the things that keep me up at night of like, how am I going to design a UI that's going to have something meaningful where you're just not scrolling endlessly? So these are definitely things that we have to think about. But what's interesting is even today, I have edge customers who have these thousands of sites who are already taking a GitOps approach, either through, like I was talking about, with scripting that VMware have helped them through PSO, Terraform scripts, like they're already managing it in a GitOps style deployment. So it's we see both depending on the sophistication of the customer. I shouldn't say that. I mean, like, where they are in their transformation journey, the number of software engineers they have, the number of IT people they have, they may want to manage things differently. So we kind of have to solve for both.
Yeah, so what I've learned listening to you and your team interacting with your customers is that when you're dealing with edge locations, it's not necessarily about resilience in the stack. It's more about fast recovery. Customers want to have fast recovery done by somebody who's not really trained to recover an IT stack. And that is something that needs to be retained in the design of the stack. How fast can somebody who's untrained just recover the stack so they can return to business as usual? And I think that's very critical to understand. And that's something that most data center products are not designed for. They are designed to think about resilience.
No, completely agree. And I think that's been the, you know, people who work on edge, they I think, and already, like Alan was saying, like VMware has already been at the edge. Like we have been at the edge in retail. We have been at the edge in manufacturing. What is driving this revolution of edge computing now is going back to the types of applications being deployed, you know, the customers being on different aspects of their containerization, modernization journey. I think we touched upon a little bit about, you know, we have to be able to support both all the existing workloads and the modern workloads, because some customers aren't going to modernize necessarily. I was going to give a little anecdote. We have talked to one manufacturing customer that they literally said, oh, we've got this one application that controls this one bit of the whatever part of the manufacturing line. The developer who wrote that software wrote it 20 years ago. It runs in this virtual machine. And if it goes down, we just restart it. We don't have the code. So in that scenario, it's one of these things of like, okay, we'll make sure that VM is always up and running for you. But to your point, yeah, we're trying to, as much as possible, our software needs to be self-healing at the edge. If we have to be resilient in terms of, like, you're right, if something goes down, it needs to be able to fix itself. Because you're right, it needs to be very easy for someone to quickly click a restart. And those are the types of, from a resiliency perspective, functionality we're building into our stack. It's like if it crashes, it should just very quickly come back up. And it gets even more complicated when you start thinking about manufacturing. And that, think about, you know, we're running our edge stack to run a particular production line, for example. You have to think of things we're in the middle of, you know, bolts being turned, things being layered on, like things were in the middle of a state. If for some reason we have to stop that production line for safety, for example, a safety incident, you have to be able to immediately stop the line. Then our platform has to be able to store that state. And then when it's safe to continue on exactly where it was. So same thing, if power goes down, we want to be able to restore it where it was, because now we're talking about, you know, either proper safety, or we're also talking about making sure we're not having waste, because if all the things have to be reset, then you are going to get out of alignment wherever you were in that production.
Yeah, and in terms of waste, they could potentially, of course, be working with, you know, very expensive components. So I can imagine that is extremely important. And talking about probably my favorite topic and expensive components, data is probably one of the most expensive or most valuable assets that most people have. So you've already mentioned something about, you know, security and resiliency. But what are we doing specifically for data on this particular platform?
Oh, my favorite topic. So, you know, the fact that, you know, if we go back to the very beginning, you know, that edge is like the next evolution of cloud, and what really is driving the need for the edge, going back to not only being vertical, but it's all the particular use cases, all these apps. And the reason for needing edge compute is because in many cases, you need to be able to process, filter, bandwidth reduce that data at the edge. And so I haven't talked about AI ML, you know, inferencing at the edge is definitely happening with computer vision across retail, across manufacturing. There's also then all the streaming data that we get from the different IoT devices and sensors that then need to all then think about this. And all these systems right now typically get deployed in a silo. If someone right now wants to deploy computer vision at an edge, if they don't have the benefits of our platform, they typically will buy like from that vendor the algorithm or the inferencing model plus the hardware plus the cameras. They'll buy the end-to-end solution and then it's a new piece of hardware they have to put in the store. So with our platform, not only we're trying to help consolidate some of these pieces because we are able to support it, but also because then it gives you the ability to have it all running in one platform that then your app developers can access together to then link to have a proper, you know, I want to take that loss, like that loss prevention use case of someone accidentally doing the apple instead of the wine bottle to trigger the decision of the employee coming over to check and then maybe pulling the surveillance or whatever, what have you. Maybe that's an extreme case. A better example I want to talk about is around this customer that we announced at Explore. They're a meat processing company. So they've deployed edge compute stack on the lines of the meat processing. So they've got the employees on the line as they take the meat onto their workstation. You know, they're doing the processing and putting the meat back on the line. And the computer, the inferencing is checking to see if there's any meat left on the bone. And then as that bone goes down the line, as the algorithm is done, it'll say like, oh, this bone needs to be, there's more meat on it. Then it automatically puts it back onto the line for another worker to either look at it and process it again. So it's called Operation White Bone. It's a great name, but it gets for this customer, it does two things, right? Like not only are they being more sustainable, as we know how hard and how much work it is to raise our meat for our consumption, but then also, they're getting cost efficiency and savings. And the interesting part is like, you know, being able to deploy this type of use case then feeds into all the other systems. And so they can then do predictive maintenance. If they know that conveyor belt at the 10,000th turn, for example, needs to have maintenance, then they can schedule and trigger off that event. And so this is what we're talking about, sort of like a very event-driven software architecture is being employed at the edge and being processed. So there's multiple things happening, right? We've got the inferencing happening real time and then the event processing happening real time. So for that, we need to take advantage of different data services at the edge. And so this is my shout out to the RabbitMQ team. So at VMware, we got lots of data services. So I've been working very closely with the RabbitMQ team to see how we could drive that event-driven architecture, streaming architecture to help enable developers to properly unlock the value of having edge compute at the edge to enable all of these different scenarios. And that's just at the edge. And so then if you think about businesses who have thousands of edges, how am I going to help them get that data visibility across all the different sites? So then at the corporate level, they can take advantage of like, oh, we noticed that in this region, you know, we see our machines are breaking down this time or whatever, you know, inference or, you know, assumption that a data analysis you want to do for a particular area. We want to be make it super easy from a data perspective to send back what is relevant from the edge sites, but most importantly, of course, process what's needed at the edge sites to do these real-time decision-making. Sorry, so I talked a lot about data there, but you were asking about security. So that's why I would say where we have it is important to think from a security perspective. You're right. If this compute is, you know, behind the desk or in a room, like anyone could walk away with it potentially. So you have to think in two things. You have to think in the application design, how you're going to design an application to make sure that if someone has access to it, that you can't start stealing from it. The other part of it is by ensuring those disks are encrypted. So really having vSAN there, taking advantages of all that, and then making sure the data is encrypted at rest. And going back to what I was saying, like in our world, being able to properly shrink and optimize vSAN so people can take the best benefits. All of these things are things that we're doing that have to happen at the edge to properly secure everything.
Now, interestingly, I actually looked at that project, I believe it was Whitebone, to review and use it as a use case for my presentations for ML. But unfortunately, the actual AI bits, the video is a little bit too rich for the audience to look at. So, but it's an extremely interesting use case and the way it's actually using different types of VMware technology, because it's using Bitfusion and all of that incredible, interesting stuff that, that we can deliver to our customers. But talking about use cases, can you share more use cases with us?
Yeah, so definitely this meat processing customer is very interesting in how they're taking advantage of it. A few other customers, another big one that was announced was Audi. So Audi's well on their way to modernize and, like I said, really get to that software-defined manufacturing. Of course, we've got other retail customers that are also deploying computer vision in the store for, you know, not only for surveillance reasons where they have to capture the video, you know, in case someone falls or things like that, but then they're taking that same surveillance footage that they have and running inferencing models on it to then do analysis of maybe they're checking, you know, during certain times what the foot traffic is, do they need to have more people on site. They're also revolutionizing, how people shop and interact in the store. So making sure it's a joke I have with them, but where I would say like, okay, so when I come into your store and I log in to do the scan as I go, do you guys inflate the prices for me? Like, cause they can do custom based pricing. So I made this joke of like, so if you don't like me, will you raise the prices? I'm just kidding. Of course not. So it's interesting how they're tracking that traffic flow and enabling other use cases and maybe then by then recommending like, oh, Marilyn got milk, so maybe she needs cereal, or, you know, putting together these things for the customers to really kind of delight them. So one thing that I really talk about is customers want instant gratification. We want to be able to delight our customers with these experiences. And from a business perspective, they want to have optimized operations. And so a lot of the times to get the delightful experience for the customers, then you need to have an application that's going to be efficient enough to kind of not justify the platform, but really properly take advantage of the platform. So let me think, other use cases. We do have some other customers in healthcare. So I know I haven't been saying that hasn't been the focus, but just so you guys know, like healthcare is definitely another big area for edge computing, and having that proper embedded to do, so a lot of the image processing that happens for the different type of testing. So we do have a healthcare kind of IT provider that's enabling edge across all the different hospitals that they manage.
Now, for those people that are listening right now and are curious about the solution that we have available, where can they actually go to? Where can they find out more about this particular platform? And I know this is going to be released after VMware Explore, but is there a particular session that was hosted at VMware Explore that they must see?
Oh, yeah. So I have an overview session on Edge Compute Stack. We also have a great reference architecture. If you want to take a look at how the technologies are being deployed, and we've got that session. I did a session, my plug is we did a session on data with the RabbitMQ product management team. So that's also available. So I think those three, but actually we had a plethora more. We have some manufacturing ones, some retail ones, very vertical focus of power utility ones. So there's a whole range of them. I'll make sure that you guys get the links to all the good ones.
So Marilyn, this show is called the Unexplored Territory Podcast, and you work with the newest technologies. And so you know that there's so much unexplored territory in technology. Which emerging technologies get you excited and would interest our listeners as well?
So I would say that this technology has been around, but how it evolves is, so I'm a big runner. I'm one of those people that love getting up in the morning and going for a run. I've done 53 half marathons. I need to do another one this year. I don't even know how many 5Ks, 10Ks I've done. I don't even count them anymore. But I love getting, so I just switched to a Garmin. I'm kind of one of these late bloomers. I know you people would tease me and be like, if you're a serious runner, why weren't you using a Garmin all along? I went through kind of the evolution, like when the first Fitbits came out, then moving to the Apple Watch. And then I even for a while got an Oura Ring. So I've tried it all. I love data. And so for a while I was wearing both watches. I had my Apple Watch and I had, the Garmin, and I was like testing the two of them. It's really interesting. This is one of the newer Garmins. I've just been using it for about a month and a half. I came out right before the Ultra came out. So in that sense, I already bought this, and actually a lot of great things about this that I love. But and so how you tie it all back is, it's it still goes back to kind of what I was talking about, data in silos. One thing that I wish someone would solve is, you know, I've got this great data from Garmin, I've got my data in Apple, I've got my data in so many different places, and I would love to have an aggregate view of everything. And in fact, it was one of these things that years ago I was like, someone needs to solve this problem. I'm going to solve this problem. And I think I started doing wireframes in my free time and thinking of how I would solve this, and then I never built anything. But yeah, I know you. Some of you guys are bike and running enthusiasts as well, so I think you understand my why I find this passionate.
Oh, I can definitely understand. I've been running quite a bit as well over the last, well, decades probably, and you know, I have the same problem. I actually do own a Garmin as well, one of the latest ones, the 255, and had the 735 before that, and the 245 and the 235, you name it. So I've had them all, and there are some platforms that actually can gather some of the data. So for instance, Strava does that quite well, but of course the problem is that it doesn't connect all of the different components. Yeah, I can imagine that you're very interested in, you know, learning more about that data. And I'm personally also very excited about what we can expect in the future from those kinds of platforms.
Yeah, like we were joking about, like you said, having some AI ML model to give us kind of like the best analysis. I do like Garmin's recommendation of like, hey, today you should do this type of run, which I like seeing, but definitely how we can kind of get some more insights. And I wish I'd be able to, you know, be able to see the data in the way that makes the most sense for each one of us individually.
Yeah, let me add a plug, by the way, because not all listeners may have heard about this company, but there's this relatively new company. It's called Stride, and they actually have a foot pod. If you attach the foot pod to your shoes and you run with the foot pod itself for, let's say, 3 or 4 weeks, it can actually start creating recommendations for you in terms of how fast you should be doing certain runs. And from what I've noticed, because I borrowed one from my cousin for the last couple of months and actually used it to pace myself for a marathon, and it was spot on in terms of what I could do for the marathon itself. So it said I could run like 313 something, and I actually ended up running 313 something. So it was ridiculously accurate. And the funny thing about this device is it actually does show you your output. So it shows you the output in terms of wattage. So the amount of effort that it takes to move forward, that's basically what it calculates. And then based on things like the temperature, the weather, the way you are running, it can calculate what you should be able to do. And that's a very interesting thing. And I suspect companies like Garmin and Coros and some of the other vendors, Polar, will probably head into the same direction. But I'll add a link to the show notes as well, because I wrote a blog article about that.
Oh, amazing. And now you've given me some other piece of tech that I'm going to have to buy and try.
Well, thank you, Marilyn, for this very interesting episode. Let's wrap this episode up, Duncan.
And that's it. We've reached the end of another episode of the Unexplored Territory podcast. If I have to summarize today's episode, then my key takeaway would be that VMware Edge Compute Stack will enable you to run any workload in any location in a secure and operationally efficient manner. Again, thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and rate the podcast wherever possible. If you have any feedback, send us a message on Twitter on @UnexploredPod. I would like to thank my co-host and, of course, our guest of today, Marilyn, for a fantastic episode.
Duncan, Frank, thank you so much for having me today on the show. I really appreciate it.